You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates, as we're having a lot of fun here on a Thursday night, so we want to do a show. In fact, it's my birthday eve. We'll talk about that and so much more, and there's so much to talk about. That's why we decided to do a roundtable tonight. We invite you with your questions and comments on YouTube and Facebook to put them in there and comments and questions. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to bow right now to the king of our podcast. That would be Kyle Barber. What's up?
Hold on, Dave, the king of the podcast. Okay. All right. Kyle from LaGrange, the king of all podcasts, the king of social media.
Well, here's the thing. We heard a rumor. I'll just say this.
Oh, yeah, I did submit a resume.
Yeah, that you were going in the transfer portal. So I'm trying to do everything I can. Matt and I are trying to do everything we can to keep recruiting you, even though you're on the roster.
Yeah.
Matt, can you identify with that, Matt?
You know, I reached out to the Boneyard Collective. We're trying to put something together for Kyle right now, but He's entertaining other offers, it seems. So,
yes, I am. I'm in negotiations right now.
Can you tell us who we are competing against?
Well, the last name kind of sounds like shithead, so you can figure it out. He wants me for a show. They need something to help the show improve, so. They've reached out to me. I'm considering their offer, and we'll see what happens.
And all things birds. I've heard that podcast is after you. I don't know why. But
what was that? All things what?
Birds.
Birds.
Yeah, there's like
I don't get that joke. You lost me.
And there's all. I'm just saying, there's all kinds of people there because
it's between that podcast with that guy whose last name sounds like shithead. And Cornette, you know, he's thinking of replacing Brian Last with me. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah,
Corny has so much money, Matt. Yeah. He has his collectibles and everything. I don't think there's any way in the world we can compete, but we'll keep trying.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
All right, Matt Semenza, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Looking forward to catching up. And, you know, Dave, I know tomorrow's a big day for you, the big 5-0. And, I just wanted to let you know, you don't look a day over 49 and a half, buddy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you so much.
Bubba, we need Bubba at this point right now. That's when Bubba needs to chime in with that clip from a few years back I don't remember what play it was. Is that your grandbaby, Dave?
I can't remember now off the top of my head, but I'll think about it after the show. But very excited to have you guys because there's been so many good things happening right now that I guess we can. Let's start with my biggest topic will be the spring game, and I want to get you guys. The weather was bad. I was coming off illness, not feeling well, but weak, and so I didn't go, which I hate because I love the spring game. I'm a nerd, I know, but what do you guys think? What were your takeaways that you saw from afar?
I didn't watch any of it and didn't see any highlights, just read. I don't think you can take much away from the spring game. Just looking after spring ball, there's some needs that needs to be addressed. We need another outside receiver that can make big plays for us. I think that's probably the most glaring thing, probably also the easiest thing to feel. There's a lot of good receivers out there. There always is. I think beyond that, I don't know. One guy that, you know, what is, speaking of just spring ball, and I'll just carry it over to Matt, let him talk more about it, what he's his thoughts on spring ball. Everybody's talking about the running back room, Marlon Gunn, the kid from Georgia Southern. Where are we at on Rajay Harris's progress? Rajay needs to be, he needs to be healthy come fall.
Yeah, they saved him. I think Matt, isn't he going to be like by the fall practice is when he'll find they're going to finally let him loose.
Yeah, it's my understanding, guys, that he's going to be ready to go for game one.
That's great.
Which you know, it's amazing the progress that these surgeons have made with ACL surgery. It's just incredible. I mean, you know, you're talking about what is it? Maybe 9 months, maybe 10 months at most for Rajay if he's able to play for the first game. So that's pretty awesome. And he's you know, he's a guy you definitely want to have to add. I mean, it's a deep running back room, but definitely want to have him. And like, you know, just to kind of circle back for a second, when I think about where we are right now for spring ball, it feels to me, it feels a little bit like a reset for the program, not a rebuild, but just a little reset where, you know, we have some deficiencies that we didn't have, or at least appear to have on paper last year. Kyle mentioned the outside wide receivers. I think I'm still a little concerned about the tackle position. But, you know, unless you're Alabama or Clemson, you're always going to have some deficiencies. But the great thing about this portal, you know, this transfer portal that we always kind of joke around about is that, you know, it's going to reopen again here, what, tomorrow, I believe,
yeah, actually,
in 2 days. So it's an opportunity for us to, you know, continue improving the roster and maybe find that guy that Kyle mentioned on the outside that can go up and make some plays.
I would also take a look, because I don't think they're being recruited like they used to be. I would be looking hard at the junior colleges too.
Yeah, I was going to mention that to you guys, the very fact of, you know, so you have the high school route, you have the transfer portal, you have the junior college route. And then, guys, this is another thing I thought about basketball, but then I thought about football too. What about the international part? I mean, we have a kid from Germany. We have Australia. Why not some more kids that – I'm not talking about – you know, a whole bunch.
Well, you're not going to find guys that are going to make immediate impact except maybe a punter, because they don't play football very much in other countries. So you're looking at developmental projects. We're looking at immediate impact guys. Now at punter, which is also a need, because Luke Larson is about as inconsistent as you can get, and we really don't have anything behind him. So are we going to rely on Luke and his inconsistency? Or are we gonna?
Well, we had another punter, don't we?
Oh, we do, but I heard his legs. You know, I heard he doesn't have the leg strength through the D1 level. It appeared in spring. So, I don't know if we're gonna look for the transfer portal for that. If you just take some walk ons, Luke Larson, if he could get consistent, would be fine. But he's just so damn inconsistent.
And it's tough, too, with Larson, because he's that rugby-style punter, and he likes to take two wide steps to his right. So, naturally, you know, opposing teams are going to bring pressure off their left, which can lead to some problems for you. That's the only problem with the Australian style of punting, is that it can lead to more blocks, in my opinion. But I agree with you guys. He's been inconsistent, and, you know, I think based on everything – you know, I'm reading, they're going to try to upgrade that room too. But again, not to sound like a broken record, for me, I know from a numbers perspective, we're pretty full on the offensive line, but I just feel like if we could add another impact tackle, which is not easy to do, but I would feel a lot better about next season.
I guess, as a young quarterback,
you know,
that's the reason why. I'm sorry, I was going to say this real quick, Matt, Kyle. That's why I was going to say, Matt, the reason why I got what you were saying about the offensive line is the fact that we have Mason Garcia, who we will talk about that in a little bit. But if he is going to be successful, he doesn't have the experience of a Holt Naylor's that can kind of like make something happen. And so we need the offensive line to protect him, to have a good running game and give him the confidence he needs to be successful.
Well, I just said that we would add a tackle if we could find an impact guy. The problem is there's not a lot of the. I would look for the. I would definitely be looking at the JUCO route for that. I don't think you're going to find that in the transfer portal. They go too fast. I would be looking at the JUCO route to bring in somebody on the O line. Didn't you say we got a couple guys from Akron that transferred in on the O line?
We did, Kyle. We got a true center who has starting experience in the MAC, and then we also got a tackle who again, another starter in the MAC.
Okay.
And you know, I think those are really good additions. You know, I think there's also some question marks about, you know, just how good of players these guys are. And, you know, not to be sound like I'm being critical of them, but, you know, you just don't know what you have until you get people on campus. So,
right.
You know, but I think those are two really good additions, guys with starting experience, and they're going to help.
Yeah. I don't think the O-line's in bad shape. It'll be interesting to see what our new O-line coach does also, but yeah, if we can bring in, you know, another impact tackle. And again, I would probably be looking at the JUCOs hard for that, because I just don't think you're going to find it in the transfer portal. I mean, you might, they're just hard to get. Maybe we can get somebody from the FCS route to come up and be an impact. But tight ends, another room I think you look at, that if we can find somebody else, we need some more depth at tight end. I think starting we're fine, but I do think we need some more depth there.
So at least one more tight end.
Yeah, and it sounds like we really need another corner. I didn't think we did, but Igo says that our starters are good there, but we don't have a lot of depth there. So they're definitely looking to bring in a corner also. We're reportedly going to have about four guys transfer out that are deep on the depth chart. So that'll free up four scholarships. So
four D-backs?
Huh?
You said four, so D-backs are going to transfer out?
No, just four players in general, according to Igo.
Four, okay.
That are on the depth, that are deep on the depth chart, are going to transfer out and enter the portal. So there should be room there for a defensive back, for a quarterback. That we should have room for scholarships for all the players we need if we find the players to fill the position, is what I'm trying to get at with the
right
few players transferring out.
Right. And Matt, with how are we on I feel good about D-line, but what about linebacker? That's your spot. So if there's anybody that know about that, it would be you.
Well, I think we have more depth this year, and I think it's a little different look, in my opinion, than in years past. I think from a size, like a pure size perspective, weight, you know, when you look at like the weights of these guys, maybe not as big, but I think we're faster. I think we bring some more quickness there and some more depth this year. You have Edwards, who's a transfer from Georgia Southern. He was here last year, played mostly special teams, but he has starting experience in the Sun Belt. He plays fast. You have Taylor Jackson back, who started against Coastal in the bowl game. And then you have two players that came up from the FCS ranks, in addition to Zakai Barker, who tore an ACL. So I just rattled off five guys pretty quick. So, okay. I think from a depth and speed standpoint, we're pretty solid. It's just a question of, can we put it all together?
So it's a matter of, and like you talked about last time when we talked about maybe an edge rusher, somebody to really go after the quarterback on the defense side of the ball, we would be great if we could get it. It's not like they're growing on trees.
I certainly think so. I think, I don't know about how you guys feel. I think that's the hardest position for us to find here at East Carolina, yeah, as a, you know, a true edge rusher. What do you guys think about that?
You're spot on. Remember, that's what Coach Logan used to say. He said that defensive linemen don't grow on trees. You remember that, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a matter of that. By the way, put your questions or comments on Facebook or YouTube. In fact, on YouTube, this is for Matt, a question from Chuck. He's a question for Chuck? You. He said, if Flynn is better than Mason, do you start Flynn, or is it Mason's job for 2023?
Chuck,
I'll save that question, but it's already appeared, so I wanted to put it out there for you, Matt.
Yeah, it's interesting that Chuck brings this up, because I texted you guys earlier today.
Yeah.
And Chuck, in my opinion, you know, and this may not be a popular opinion, but I'm going to let it all play out in fall camp and see where it goes. And I'm going to go – I go with the guy who gives me the best chance to win.
Of course.
I think that Mason, you know, is the guy of the future. And I think it would be better for the program, from just a program perspective, if he is the guy. I think he will be, but I would like to see a true competition and just let it play out. I think it's good to have a few quality guys that can, you know, start if needed.
I'm with you, Matt. And not only Flynn, but if we, you know, we're going to bring in a transfer portal quarterback, you know, Houston said so. So depending on, yeah, I start the best, whoever. I think I agree with you 100%. If Garcia is the best, that's what's best for the program because he has 3 big years of eligibility left. And on paper, that's what we are supposed to be building around is him. So what that would be best for the program if he is the best guy to start and goes out there and starts and doesn't have a hiccup. Well, he's going to have hiccups, but in terms of having to bench him, he goes out there and he wins the job and keeps the job. That's what's best for the program. But if Flynn outperforms him or if the whoever we bring in out of the portal outperforms him in fall camp, you play whoever gives you the best chance to win. The rest be damned.
Yeah, and guys, I just have, my gut feeling tells me that this is a situation where you guys are spot on. Flynn is designed to push Garcia. You don't just give Garcia the keys outright. And the reason why I say that is because I believe that Flynn has outperformed what they thought he was going to be. And so it's a situation where he is, you've got a guy, you've got him and Mason. You're not going to start Jeter because Jeter is just brand spanking new to the system. So you're looking at a situation where you don't want to piss Flynn off because he's been there. He's a junior. You give him a lot of quality reps. You push each other. When it's all said and done, unless it's a huge disaster and Flynn continues to improve and maybe Mason doesn't, then Flynn would get the starting position. But I believe when it's all said and done, that Mason will get the job. But the great news is that Flynn has really performed way better than expected.
And I'll say it again. The portal quarterback, whoever that may be, and unless we just take some guy just to have depth, you're not going to get somebody out of the portal unless telling them, look, you'll have a chance in fall to compete. So you never know. You never know who we land. You know, we might land a guy that's an experienced FCS starter that's put up good numbers and maybe hadn't had a lot of wins because he's had shit people around him. So you never know. I hope Mason Garcia does win the job and because he's got 3 years of eligibility left. That's what's best for the program.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And by all accounts, the arm strength he brings is NFL level arm. So absolutely. But I think, and you know, Kyle and I were kind of talking about this last week. You know, I agree wholeheartedly. We have to try to find an additional quarterback. You have to.
You have to have
1,000%. And Kyle and I disagreed on this a little bit. I don't know how desirable of a position that is for a transfer quarterback, considering that, you know, Mason has 3 years left. But regardless of that, you have to try. You have to try to find that guy. And I think Donnie Kirkpatrick used this as an example in his interview that he did yesterday. Look at NC State last year.
Yep.
NC State started with a top quality quarterback. And by the end of the year, they were on their third or fourth quarterback and were barely winning games. So you just never know what's going to happen.
Well, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can now.
I got a phone call and it interrupted me, but. I'm with you, Matt. I do think if pitched incorrectly, but here's the thing about that. Houston can say it's Mason's job to lose, as much as it is his job to win. If you're recruiting a kid in the portal and you tell him, yeah, I got two quarterbacks. One of them has started one game. The other one hasn't started any games. They're both very experienced and you're an experienced FCS starter. And you can't tell him, hey, look, we're going to give you a shot, you know, then shame on us. If we go out and tell people you're going to be nothing but a backup, then we're going to get what we get. So I think you almost have to tell a kid recruiting him out of the portal, you'll get your chance this fall. The best guy's going to start.
Houston always says that, you know, so like I don't see where, like, during the Holton Ahlers era, you're not going to tell a kid that because they know Holton Ahlers is going to start. But it's wide open, like you said. And, hey, it's about, in our business, you know, for football and any sport, it's about wins and losses. And so if there's a guy out there that we don't know about, a diamond in the rough, that's what we are at East Carolina, then that's a good fit for us. But I feel like that the biggest scenario that's changed between the bowl game and now is Alex Flynn. Not that Mason hasn't done a good job. I think he has. I think it's just a matter of the fact that Alex Flynn has improved so much, much more than they expected or anticipated. And you can't just give that, you know, just say that you don't have no chance. I mean, and it's actually good for, we talked about this before, this is good for Mason Garcia because he's going to be pushed to the limits. And that's good for him to make sure he knows the playbook, make sure that he knows his reads. I think all the kids love him in the locker room, so you don't have a problem there with Mason. So it's just a matter of his execution, right, between those two guys.
Well, the first 2 weeks of the regular season, we're going to face two very stiff defenses in Michigan and Marshall. And, you know, Michigan, obviously, everybody knows who they are. Marshall has been a very good defensive football team the last – last year, their offense sucked. The only reason they went to a bowl game was their defense. Right. So you're going to play two good defensive football teams the first 2 weeks of the year. You know, you better get multiple. Mason's very inexperienced. You know, I'm assuming he'll be the starter. You know, he may get injured. He may go out there against a good defense, get rattled, throw a bunch of picks. So you better get Flynn ready. You better get whoever the transfer's coming in ready because you may need him. I hope not. I hope Mason goes out there and looks like a superstar. But he's going to have growing pains. There's no need to expect him not to. And you don't need to bench him just because he throws a pick either. So, you know, but at the same time, there needs to be an active competition at quarterback.
Right.
And I would, you know, I'm anxious to see who we bring in out of the portal. I really believe potentially it could be not just Flynn and Garcia competing for the job, but whoever that guy at the portal is. Matt, because you alluded to it, how desirable of a job is it? Do you think we can recruit a guy to come play and be a somebody you could depend on to win a football game unless you tell him he's going to have a chance to compete for the starting job?
I don't. And that's where college football gets really tricky, and it can be a dirty business at sometimes because you have
to lie.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you, as a coach, I'm sure every coach would come on this show and they'd say, hey, it's all about competing. It's all about competition. But let's face it. I mean, sometimes you have to sell the program. And that's kind of a little bit of a dirty side about college football. But I think what we would get would be more somebody who and I think of this as an example, right? I go back to NC State. The kid that came from Charleston Southern who went to NC State last year, and I think he had just 1 year of eligibility and – he was more of an athlete than a true pocket quarterback, but he could make plays with his feet. And I think even if we could get somebody along those lines who just can bring some ability, make plays with his feet, some athleticism, that would be better than going into the season with, you know, with just three quarterbacks.
Well, Houston said we are going to bring in a quarterback. Yeah, so if you got to, you bring in somebody from JUCO. But what if we get an FCS quarterback from a team that hasn't been winning, but he's got 1 year of eligibility left, but it turns out it's because of the players around him. He's a quality quarterback, and he comes in here with 1 year of eligibility left and lights it up during fall camp. Do you green light him with only 1 year of eligibility left? Let's say he outperforms Mason and Alex Flynn, but it's not by light years. You know, if you're grading them out, he's just got a slightly higher grade, but he does have a higher grade than Mason or Flynn. Do you go ahead and start him?
I don't. I would have a hard time with that.
The way I would see it, unless he is light years ahead of everybody, and let's say that Mason struggles, Alex Flynn, you know, like he goes down a little bit, then, but for me personally, I think when it's all said and done, I really believe Mason's going to be there, number one, unless there's an injury or he's just an absolute disaster in the fall camp. But then there's no way in the world I'm going to start him. But that's
I think if it's close, you go ahead and start Garcia or Flynn, even because they have multiple years of eligibility. Now, if you got that kid and he's got 1 year of eligibility left and he outperforms them both and it's not even close, then you got to start him.
Yeah.
And I'll say this really, like, last thing I want to say about the quarterbacks, you know, I really like both of these guys because they're loyal and they've stuck with the program. I mean, look at Flynn. How unusual is it in this day and age for a guy who hasn't really played at all to stick around for 4 or 5 years? And the same thing with Garcia. Garcia, in my opinion, showed a lot of loyalty, guys, by waiting. He was patient. He waited his turn behind Holton. He didn't complain. He put in the work.
Yeah, and I think that's why
it's Houston, impressive.
Yeah, I think that's why Houston has felt obliged to saying it's his job to lose more than his job to win.
Right.
Because of the loyalty he showed, and he did have the opportunity to transfer out and got other places. So, and I think that's what it is. I think it's Garcia's job to lose, and it's Flynn's responsibility, and whoever we bring in's responsibility to beat him out and to be prepared as backups, you know. And
that's it.
And another thing about Garcia, you know, from what I understand, he likes to make plays with his feet. He's got a big arm, and then he likes to run around and make plays with his feet. So he's a kid that if we utilize his abilities, and I think he got to, that could get hurt.
And Matt, it goes back to what you were saying, and Kyle, it goes back to, for me, when you opened my eyes about the O-line. It's not that the O-line is going to be bad. We have a new coach coming in that I think is good. I think it's a matter of the depth issue is how healthy. I don't think it's quite like what I'm trying to say is I don't think that we, in other words, we're not lacking on depth. So we have that. The problem is for me is we know how offensive and defensive linemen are going to get hurt. So if you have a whole bunch of them hurt, then you have a guy that's depending on the who's starting. You could have a situation where those guys are running for their lives if the offensive line, that's where football starts. And I think it's going to be, with having the inexperienced quarterback, it's going to be more apparent than we've had. And I think the people that have hated on Holton for all these years will be eating a lot of crow because they're going to see that how great he really was. But not to get off on that tangent, but just the offensive line play better be good this year.
Well, I think Garcia, and I think Flynn's got some mobility too.
Yeah,
I think Garcia's mobility will help a if the O-line is mediocre, having a mobile quarterback helps you a lot, a whole lot. So, I think you're probably going to see a lot of read option with Garcia this year and that kind of stuff. So, I think having the best O-line you can is great. If we have a great O-line, great. But a mobile quarterback can make a mediocre O-line look a lot better.
Definitely. And, you know, I would just say to fans too, hey, temper expectations a little bit early in the season for Garcia, because I mean, listen, hey, we're going up to the big house. That is a tough environment. If you follow Michigan historically, that when they play non-conference teams early in the season at home, they literally destroy teams. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to us because I believe in the program and I think we can go up there and play really well. But I think I think Mike Houston and Donnie will come up with a really good game plan. I think you have to simplify it a little bit and have plays with one read. So plays like wide receiver screens, read option. You guys mentioned read option. Instead of, you know, seeing like with Holton, by the end of last year, he was going to his third read. I mean, he was so comfortable in the offense. So, you know, I just think, you know, we're going to need to just be a little patient with whoever the quarterback is. There's going to be growing pains.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you look, I wish the schedule stacked up a little different. I wish that Gardner-Webb game was the second or third game instead of the fourth game.
They're trying to make it the first game.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. Okay. So you're gonna open up with Michigan, and then you got Marshall, then you got App. And now, thankfully, App also is dealing with the same thing—a new quarterback.
They are.
But my point is. You hit the ground running, whoever's going to be playing quarterback, because like I say, you obviously Michigan's Michigan, and I don't know how many people realistically expect us to beat Michigan. I would hope very few at this point. But the Marshall and App games, look, our fans are going to expect to win those games. And they are very tough games. I think you got to split one of those two. If we get into dissecting the schedule, I think we got to start 2-2. I think we got to beat Marshall or App, and we obviously have to beat Gardner-Webb.
Here's the thing, and you're right about that, Kyle, is that you're looking at right now the Michigan game is – what do you think the line on that's going to be, guys, like 2 or 3 touchdowns?
I think with a brand-new quarterback, I would expect at minimum minus 17, at most minus – I think it'll be anywhere between minus 17 to minus 27, I would say somewhere in there.
Okay, that's what I was going with, about 21, like 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, something like that, yes.
What do you think? I'm thinking 20. I'm thinking it's probably going to be 27.
Okay,
that was the number in my head.
But you look at the great thing about our schedule, guys, is that yes, Marshall is a tough game, and I'm not taking away anything against them or
Apps. They play better at the beginning of the year. Also, under that guy, yeah. They typically get worse. Last year they were good at the beginning. They were the drizzling shits in the middle of the year, and they were good again by the end. We get them at home. You know, Marshall's never won in Greenville.
Wow, that's true.
So hopefully that continues.
And
they beat us in Huntington an awful lot, but they've never won in Greenville.
It's the last time we haven't been to App State in a long time.
Since the 70s, yeah.
78, 70. Yeah,
and they win a lot at home. That's going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's going to be, you know, they'll have that game circled. And we better have that game circled. Look. Gone are the days where we could snub our nose at App State. The last time they played us, they whipped our asses, and we went to a bowl that year. So I didn't get to play in it, but we got invited. But I think we need to Pirate fans need to embrace this App State thing. It's a rivalry. Yes,
Some of the people are commenting, Kyle. You look at it, to me, this schedule for non-conference, I think this year is a very good schedule. In fact, what I was going to say is those first three games are not, you know, like, well, wow, you know, it's a tough start, right? But then Gardner-Webb, you feel like that's a win. You look at Rice. I mean, I know it's a road game, but you feel like you can win that one. I feel like we're even. The Thursday night game, we have the bye week, and then the SMU game is on a Thursday night. And Matt's going to be here October 21st. He already told me, because his favorite school, Charlotte. You feel like
up as a win.
If you look after the App State game, guys, there's 4 winnable games. The toughest game,
SMU is going to be tough.
The UTSA game is going to be tough. The Tulane game is going to be tough. We do get them at home. I'm looking at – what do you think about that road trip to FAU, Boca Raton?
I like their hire. I wish we played them earlier in the year. They may be clicking by the end of the year. Dude's a good coach.
Here's the thing, guys. You got the last 3 games are new coaches, right? At FAU, Navy.
Boy, I'll tell you, the Tulsa hire, we closed the season with Tulsa. And I did not like that hire. I do not think that guy's a good coach. I never have. I remember when he was a candidate for our job here, when we hired Ruffin, I did not want to hire him. He was very mediocre at Indiana. I am a little surprised Tulsa hired him. What is his damn name?
I can't think. I
know. Help me out, Matt. Former head coach at Indiana, former OC at Oklahoma.
Kevin Williams?
Yes.
Kevin
Smith? Yeah, that sounds right. So I'm not big on that hire for Tulsa. There are some wins to be had out there if we get decent quarterback play. Kevin Wilson. I'm going 6-6.
Really?
But I think there's potential for more wins if we get good quarterback play. But I think when you look at what we lost, Keaton Mitchell, what we lost at receiver, CJ Johnson, Isaiah Winstead, I think when you look at obviously losing Holton, I think people saying 8-9 wins, and I've seen that, I think they're smoking the hopium, or either they're underestimating the schedule. But sure. I think, you know, you look at it, Michigan's tough, Marshall tough, App State tough, SMU tough, UTSA tough, Tulane tough. FAU, I think, could potentially be tough. But, you know, there are some games we had better win. Gardner Webb, Charlotte, I think Tulsa.
Rice
is one we should definitely win. Although we have struggled at Rice over the years. Tulsa, like I say, new head coach last game of the year.
What about Navy with Brian Newberry? I know he was already there, but
yeah, and we're, you know, we've had more success at Navy than we have in Greenville playing them.
Yep,
and that's one we need to win.
Yeah, Tulane is going to be home. I like our chances with that game. I really do, and I think Charlotte's a win. The UTSA is on the road. That's a loss for me.
I have to look at Tulane to see how much they're coming back off last year's team. If they have a lot coming back, they're going to be a tough out for anybody.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a you know, give me, but
I hope the hell not. They just beat USC in the Sugar Bowl.
No, I'm just saying. The point is, I think it's a mixture of both of what we're saying. I don't think that could we be disastrous because we have you know, very inexperienced a quarterback, of course. But I tell you what, guys, it comes back to, I don't think there's any way in the world, you know, that's very limited chances of winning at Michigan, but the Marshall and App State, though, if we want to have the season you're talking about, you can't lose all three of those games.
I think we could lose all three of them and still go 6-6.
No, I'm just saying that I'm talking about those of us that are, I'm in the 8-4 camp. So
I think 8-4, man, I mean, I don't know what you're basing it on. We got so much experience out there. I think the foundation is too solid for it to be a disaster unless we get a bunch of injuries. To me, 8-4 would be a hugely successful year with replacing what we're replacing on offense. I don't care what the schedule is. I'm in the 6-6 camp, if you will, Matt. I don't know what you feel, but I think 8-4 is a possibility, but I think calling for 8-4, I don't know what you're basing it on, Matt. I mean, what do you think in terms of record?
You know, I'm honestly, this not to sound like a cop out here, but I'm waiting to see what the final roster looks like for me. Because we could, guys, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we could pick up some really good players.
Sure.
Or we could strike out. But, you know, I know this, and I'll definitely answer that question once the roster is finalized here. But if we pick up a solid outside wide receiver, if we pick up another quality offensive lineman on the outside, a tackle, I'll feel a hell of a lot better about it. So it's for me, right now, I'm just kind of looking at, hey, what do we do here over the next 3 weeks?
Let me throw this out at both of y'all, just because QB is the most fun position to talk about. What do you do if you're recruiting a kid in the transfer portal and all of a sudden you find this kid who has been a successful quarterback in an FBS or an FCS school and he's interested in East Carolina for whatever reason? But he's like, hey, if I'm going to come there, I need to be guaranteed that I'm going to have a legitimate chance to start. I mean, what do you do? What do you do then if you run into that situation? Maybe it's some guy who Donnie and Mike Houston recruited out of high school, then they have a previous relationship with him and he's in the portal and he's been successful where he's been. What do you do in that situation?
Good problem to have, but I mean, my thing is a lot of times these guys, the reason why they're in the portal is because it can work both ways, but one of the reasons why they're in the portal is they're a cancer to the locker room. That's the other thing. It's such a gamble. I know you have to, I'm not saying not to look at this, the transfer portal, but sometimes, Matt, I think we'd agree, sometimes coaches get too much in love with the portal, and there's a reason why they're in the portal.
I mean, it can work for you, and it can definitely work against you. I mean, you know, there are guys
been pretty smart with it.
So yeah, I'll tell you, I have to say, I think our coaching staff has done a really good job with it here. I think they have a pretty good track record with it. Like, I heard Mike Houston the other day mention that, you know, he was asked about that, just the same question about the quarterback from the portal. And he said he's got to make sure it's a quality person that can fit into that room. So I think they'll really evaluate that. But, you know, sometimes you can evaluate it and still you might miss. I mean, it's just the nature of the business. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I'm really curious who we're going to be able to get.
I wouldn't be surprised, Matt, if we end up with a junior college quarterback, to be honest with you.
I'd be happy with that. You know, this is a lot of good quarterbacks at that level.
There are.
You know, so, hey, we're not in a position to, where we're going to get a top flight, you know, maybe a true number one. But if we can find a quality player, that's good.
But are we? I mean, everybody keeps saying that, but I just posed the question, what if you find somebody who wants to be a Pirate because whatever reason that would be a true number one? What do?
You take them. You take them and you let it play out. You just compete. You just compete, and that's really all you can do.
And you hope you don't get any panics from Flynn or Mason.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I thought Chuck asked an interesting question here about would Houston be on the hot seat if we go 6-6?
No.
I don't think so, Chuck. I think, again, I won't call it a rebuild, but I think it's a little more of a reset year. You're starting over in some ways. You know, you're starting over from CJ, from Keaton, from Holton. You know, so it's a little more of a reset. So I think, I think he's going to have a extended leash here for quite a few years.
Oh, yeah, and the fact that the guy's won 15 games in the last 2 years. Plus, again, going back to what we talk about, it could be, you know, this is a year where it could go, like Kyle said, it could go where it's 6-6. Where he can go 8-4, 7-5, somewhere in that range.
4-8.
But as long as we don't, I would say my answer would be that to Chuck. As long as it's not a 3-9, 4-8 kind of year, if he's going 3 straight years to a bowl, then we'll be happy. But if it's a disastrous year, then yeah. I mean, then you would say it wouldn't be, I would say it probably be the year after next. Not this year, but it would be if it's 2 straight years it's losing. Then you would have to say that Houston will be on the hot seat. Not now.
Not 6-6 would not put him on the hot seat. That's
it's like two Montgomery years.
And now, if you had a brand new AD, 6-6 might put him on the hot seat, but not with the AD that's been here the whole time he's been here. There's no way. I just don't get. People need to explain to me what they are seeing. At this point, as we sit today, without getting in players from the portal, what they see today, and I've seen people say 8-9 wins, and I want to know what they're basing it on. Based on what? So if anybody thinks we're going to win 8 or 9 games based on not what may come from the portal, but based on what we have now, please post it in the comments why we're going to win 8 or 9 games, because I don't know what you're basing it on.
Well, for me, when you look at the schedule, if this was Houston's, if this is 2019 and we have no quarterback, then I would say, God, we'll be lucky to win 6, right? But I think that the reason why the expectations are where they are is do people think there's winnable games on the schedule that if in 2019 we would have struggled to even win those games or to, you know, stay in the games. And, it all comes down to for me, then if it's going to play out Kyle's way, then the two games that you have to look at are the Marshall game, and you have to look at that third game with App State. And those are not easy games. It's not like that it's give me, give me, give me, give me.
May be underdogs in both those games.
Right.
Marshall, I think, has a lot coming back, and we're on the road at App.
With App,
You look at our schedule, right? This is, I think, people are underestimating our schedule a little bit. All right, Michigan, obviously, we know what they are. Marshall, bowl team last year, won 8 or 9 games. App won 6 games last year. I didn't go to a bowl by it's a whole weird situation. They had two FCS opponents. They didn't file an appeal, and so they decided not to go. But anyway, so you have Marshall Bowl team won 8 or 9 games. Michigan's Michigan. App State won 6. UTSA, I believe, won 10 games, 10 or 11 games. SMU was a bowl team last year. So that's 5 bowl teams off the top of my head. Tulane, 6. They obviously won the conference championship, won the Cotton Bowl. So you got 6 bowl teams. I'd have to think about the schedule harder to – like I say, there are definitely winnable games out there. You better beat Gardner-Webb. You better beat Charlotte. Even though historically –
better be Rice.
Yeah, historically we have not played well at Rice, but that's one you need to win.
And you know,
can I just comment on Rice, guys? What a trash pickup by this league to bring in Rice.
Just the academics.
That is a trash pickup for this league. That's a garbage pickup, just like Charlotte was.
Yep.
Rice, you know what the problem with playing at Rice is? Here's the problem.
Ain't nobody there.
Nobody in the world cares about Rice football. There's going to be about 6 people there, and 4 of them are going to be the head coaches. It's going to be his wife and his kids. You know, it's a disaster. You know, it just really upsets me that this league, we have to be in a league with Rice. So, you know, if Charlotte was bad enough for me, but that's the issue with that game. You know, you're going into it feels like the COVID year, where, you know, you're playing in empty stadiums.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Rice ad was bad. They said they wanted the Houston market. Well, Rice doesn't deliver nothing. They don't have any fans, and now you don't even get the benefit of Rice baseball, because Rice baseball has gone to crap. They used to be a premier baseball program. Now they're horrible in baseball. So to me, Rice brings nothing to the table. Charlotte was a horrible ad, in my opinion, and I think most Pirates fans' opinion. And then you look at North Texas. There's another ad. We already have the Dallas market with SMU. What did North Texas bring to the table? Yeah, they got good basketball, but that's been a recent occurrence.
Right. Well, I think they may have done that knowing that there's a possibility that SMU may leave to the Pac-12. But by the way, let me get this, and then we can talk about that. Robert says, I'm thinking like Kyle, schedule tougher than people think. We lose experience, and God forbid injuries out of the Michigan game. He's going with 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah, I think that's realistic. I think we could win 8, but I think we could win 5 also. So that's why I'm saying 6 and 6.
And we're also going to have things break for us, like that game that I automatically putting as a loss for the conference in UTSA. You know, a game like that that we can win a squeaker, win, you know, go out there and win a close game, something like that happen, and we may lose games that we shouldn't. That's the way it seems like our schedule always turns out. But
and Matt, maybe, what will you do if we lose to Charlotte?
I will. What's that bridge in Greenville? The Green Street Bridge, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I'll go jump off the Green Street Bridge.
Oh my God!
Because that would be a disaster. That would be a disaster. And you know, like you guys know my feeling on Charlotte. They're lucky to be in a major city, because they haven't earned their way, and that's my only problem.
Correct.
Listen, right. like App State, I respect. That's a program that's, you know, they go into Penn State, they almost win. They, you know, they play big opponents.
Beat Texas A&M last year.
So you have to respect them. They've earned it. They've earned their way. Charlotte was given their way into this conference simply by default, and. You know, just to go back, Kyle, you mentioned Rice deliver. You know, we're kind of joking around about Rice delivering the Houston market. I'm just curious, did Mike Oresko actually think that Rice would deliver the Houston market? It's not like people in Houston are sitting around saying, hey, we need to watch the Rice game today. Nobody cares.
Hey, guys, I truly believe this is my honest opinion. I don't think Mike Oresko says, I think it's ESPN saying, and I don't agree with them. You guys know that's one that I didn't agree with. I didn't agree with the Charlotte one. I have no problems with the FAU, for example. I think UAB is a good hire. Listen, is a good pickup. But, going back to the schedule, I'm looking at it right now, guys. Okay, look, the second half of the schedule, we were talking about those games, the second and third game of the year. But look, here's your second half of the – I want to get your second half of the year predictions, okay? So you have home game Charlotte. You're at UTSA. You're home against Tulane, at FAU, at Navy versus Tulsa. That's that part of the schedule. We were talking about the 8-4. You can't have a collapse second half of the year. And if I look at that right, you look at the UTSA at that game, and the Tulane game is going to be – those two games are going to be tough opponents. But when I'm looking at FAU, at Navy versus Tulsa, those last three, you got Charlotte in there. I mean, are you telling me that we can't win four out of those six?
Well, we could. I mean, historically, we play like crap against Navy, though. We're due to win. But look at what happened last year. I still don't know how we lost that game.
Agreed.
So we could. Florida Atlantic has a good head coach now, and I believe they have talent on their roster. So that could be a fast turnaround. Florida Atlantic is going to be interesting to see how good they are this year. Navy, historically, we play bad, but they have a new head coach. It's somebody on staff. They're going to do what Navy's always done. I don't know how good they're going to be. I think that's one we should win, but I thought we should have beat them this year. Tulsa is one that I think will win last game of the regular season. They weren't good this year. I don't like their new head coach. I think Tulsa will win. I think we'll beat Charlotte. The second half of the year.
But you see what I mean?
There are wins to be had, but.
You have to play the game. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, we'll know what we are by the second half of the year. We'll know what all those other teams are, too.
By the way, guys, we have a guy that we've been trying to – I don't know if we're going to be able to keep him on the roster. Bubba Rosenbaum is chiming in, and hopefully we'll be able to keep him on the team as well. We talked about Kyle. I'm not sure, Bubba, you're on the transfer portal or not, but he's saying – he's stating the obvious, but it is largely depend on our play at quarterback.
Yeah.
How well do we protect the football? Last year we had a huge edge in turnover battle and didn't turn over in the last seven games. And he also says this, how well will we run it early to help Garcia Flynn? Absolutely, Bubba. That's what I'm saying. Going back to what you're saying, Matt, is the offensive line. We've got to, if there's ever been a year for the offensive line to shine and to really protect, man, it's this year.
It is. And it always starts up front.
Yeah.
Not to sound cliche, but.
No, you're right. That's the reason why it's cliche.
If you can run the ball, we have a good stable of backs. If we can run the ball, then we can set up play action down the field. You know, we can do it, opens everything up when you can run the ball. So I'm looking at that. And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit too, guys, and get your thoughts on this. I think our defense has a lot to prove. We did not play well towards the end of last year. We had the disaster at home to Houston, which that game, I don't know what in the world happened there. We played terrible at Temple. I did not think we played particularly well against Coastal on defense. We gave up a ton of big plays to a backup quarterback. I think this defense has a lot to prove. Can we get back to a level like early last year when we were playing good defense against NC State, against, you know, up at BYU? We have to get back to that level. I'm a little concerned about the way we finished up that last year. Was that because we were banged up? Is that because people were starting to figure us out a little bit, what we were doing? So big challenge this year for Blake Harrell too.
No, I agree with you 100%. I've thought about that too. I think we had the potential on defense to be pretty good, but we had the potential on defense last year, and then we kind of let it taper off towards the end of the year, like you mentioned. The bad performance against Houston. We performed well on offense at Temple, but on defense, we did not. And then the bowl game, it was what it was. But defense needs to perform well early. Well, needs to perform well here. But particularly early, I got a question for you guys. This is one of those hypothetical, random, looking at the schedule questions, and the answer is going to be both. But if you had to choose, and you can only win one, would you rather beat Marshall or would you rather beat App?
I will say that's a tough one there.
It's easy for me.
App State.
Yeah, I'd rather beat App. Marshall, they've never won in Greenville. They're almost due. It would suck to win the home opener, but I think you go if you lose to Marshall at home, if you go on the road and beat App the next week, you forget about that Marshall game in a hurry.
Well, you remember last year with Owen, we were getting ready to be 0-3.
2 years ago.
I mean, 2 years ago. I'm sorry. Yeah. Two years ago in 21.
Yep.
But I mean, anything, that's what's great about doing the show we're talking about right now is that anything's possible. I feel very confident about obviously running backs. I think I tell you what, guys, right now, I'm putting all my chips in. Marlon Gunn Jr., man, is just, wow. We were getting Rajay back. I mean, going back to O-line, if you have O-line, great. We've got a stable running backs. I feel like Lakyle, like you said, another outside receiver, tight end. We're in good shape there. And quarterback, those three. And then, so you guys think with, it's pretty much down to the edge rusher if we can on defense. We're good on, in fact, I wanted to go back to earlier we had a comment about Powers. I think it was Jack Powers. I'll have to put my hand on that in a second. But anyway, I think we're overall in good shape. I really do. I think, yes, experience some of these guys need, but overall we're looking at, like you said, Kyle, it's going to be between 6 and 8 wins, and it's going to come down to those games, the Marshall game, the App State game. Those are games that we can't start 0-3. If we do, then it's going to be lucky to be 6-6.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we could start 0-3 and still finish 6-6 easily. But yes. 2-2 is my goal. Yes. 3-1 would be a bonus.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, we're going to need some players to step up that are a little off the radar. One guy that I think you don't really hear his name a lot thrown out, but I really like him. I think he's going to have could have a very good year is Tyler Savage. Big target. He's 6'3", about 235 pounds. He's listed as a tight end. But that's a little deceiving because he's not really an inline block. He's more of a detached slot tight end. But I really like his size. He's a guy that I would like to see him develop and get the ball in his hands a little bit because, you know, we don't have the big targets like we had last year. You know, the length and the height. So we're going to need him to step up. Guys like that are on the roster. They're going to have to play well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Josiah Hatfield coming back. He's another one that last year I thought would was an X factor for me.
Yeah, he needs to live up to his expectations.
He's fast as lightning. Come on. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that we really – this is his senior year, right, off the top of my head? Isn't he a senior?
Yeah, he's certainly a junior. He's been here a while. He needs to – it's now or never. He needs to step it up big time.
Yeah, he's a guy for me that in that wide receiver room, Matt, that he's got so much talent. He's got so much speed. He's a playmaker. And I don't think he's performed at the level that he can. And so I'm hoping that I think last year you put out challenges on guys. He's a guy for me, challenge him to really step it up because – going back to what we're talking about, guys, if you want to win 8 games, 9 games, like some people, what was the magazine Bubba told us that has us 8-4?
If we're going to be it's not a magazine, and the magazines aren't out yet. College Football News had us 8-4.
Okay, College Football News. All right. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see those college magazines if they're going to even have 7 wins up there. But
How about this, Dave? First play at Michigan. Very first play action. We put Hatfield on the outside because we know Hatfield, he can run by people.
Yes, he can.
Play action, you know, really sell the fake to the run and a deep shot to Hatfield down the field. Mason Garcia can throw it about 70 yards.
Yes, he can. And I was going to say the arm strength. Yeah, the arm strength of Garcia is definitely an upgrade. Nobody argued that with about whole Nailers. But again, you have to have the experience of, you know, just because you can throw it 70 yards. It's like having a guy in baseball throw 95 miles an hour, but he has no control, like Charlie Sheen in Major League, you know, just a bit outside. But that's a great point, Matt. And Donnie, you remember that last year? You know, it's like, what do you have to lose? We're playing Michigan. Everybody expects Michigan. 99% of the population probably, if ESPN like set, will have Michigan. But what do you have to lose? The only thing that we have to worry about, like we had that earlier in our comments, is about injuries. As long as we don't have the injuries piling up, then, you know, that's what I look at for game one. I think the I hope to God there's not a lot of people that think we're going to beat Michigan. Not because I'm Debbie Downer, but just being realistic, Harbaugh has turned it around. They're a playoff team. You know, we've had Coach Minter on here that we love a lot. He's a defensive analyst. I have a feeling that they're not going to overlook East Carolina. I really find that hard to believe, you know?
Yeah, no, and they may, and they still may beat us. They're that talented. The Michigan game to me is a wash. I don't, you know, if it was last year with what all we had coming back, I would say we have a chance to pull the upset this year. Nah, man, it would be a miracle beyond miracles if we were going there and win.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes, but not in that situation. I don't. I'm more worried about Marshall and App State. Michigan game to me, I you know, it is what it is. Let's get in there, be competitive, not get anybody injured, and then let's get home and worry about Marshall and App.
Well, I think that's a really good point. And, you know, I see it the same way. I'm not anticipating winning that game, which I hate to say, man. I hate to have that attitude because
– true.
But that's just the way I feel about it. And here's the thing. If you can go up there and play well, if you can be competitive, if by some chance you have – you know, you're in the game in the fourth quarter, that's a springboard that you can take. That's a huge confidence builder,
right,
for a team to be able to think to themselves, hey, you know, we just went into the Big House. We played a tough game against a top five team. And now you can use that in the next week.
Right.
If you go up there and you get blown out and Garcia struggles and he throws picks and, you know, it looks ugly. Now, all of a sudden, early in the season, you have a little confidence crisis.
Right. And you have that issue of that. That's a good point. Is that there's no such thing as, for me, moral victories. But at the same time, you go up there and play a 10-point, maybe even 2-touchdown loss to Michigan. You're going, oh, my God, you know, we played very well. And I know Bubba would say right now, if you can make it a fourth quarter game where we're still in the game, where it's not like, oh, my God, will this game end? You know, like kind of like Montgomery years where you're getting blown out. It's embarrassing. And I don't think we're going to be at that point where we're going to be embarrassed, but having like a touchdown 10-point game.
I don't even think it has to be that close. I think you go in there and lose something like 31-17, 34-17, 37-21. I think something like that even against Michigan, you can build off that going into the Marshall game. Like I said, Mass expected to be a 27-point spread. I think it'd be a little less than that, but I think Michigan is going to be heavily favored. And and to me, again, it's the games after that you know, I'm more worried about.
Because you could lose the Michigan game, and then you get a whole bunch of wins right after that Michigan game. Theoretically, I know that
it's right. Works. Yeah, and it's not easy. Believe me, Marshall and App are not easy. And they're going to be, you know, they both like playing us and we like playing them. And
they're winnable games, though.
They are winnable games. Absolutely. Yes. You don't go into Marshall or App saying, well, that's a game we're going to lose like Michigan. You know, could we lose both those games? Absolutely. Could we win them both? Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you guys what I told you about the Michigan, speaking of Michigan and Big Ten. With this week, with they have a new commissioner, and it's looking like with the realignment, people have been talking about the college, you know, the talking heads. What do you guys think about the potential of, they're talking about on the radio, I've heard about the Big Ten is going to look at getting more Pac-12 teams to help out the travel. of UCLA and USC. How many teams? How many teams and programs do you add to help them out? Do you add two? They're talking about maybe even adding not only Oregon and Washington, but they're even talking about adding Stanford and Cal. So you'd have six schools that used to be in Pac-12. Half the league would be now in the Big Ten. How do you feel about that?
I think you've got to add at least two, in my opinion. I think having UCLA and USC on an island out west is a little goofy. So I think you definitely add Oregon and Washington, and that would put them at 18, I believe. So do you go to 20 and add Cal and Stanford? If you do, I think no matter what, if they lose two or if they lose four, I think at that point, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah are headed to the Big 12. So yeah, at that point, you either have two teams left in the Pac-12 or four. Maybe you have two teams left in the Pac-12. Pac-12's done. Those two teams win the Mountain West. Maybe you have four teams left in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 could hang on if it's Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, Washington State. I can see the Pac-12 hanging on, adds a team from the Mountain West, maybe SMU and Tulane from the American. And it being, I don't think, a power league anymore, but existing. But yeah. I do think at least two teams from the Pac-12 will be headed to the Big Ten, at least two and potentially four. And I'm pretty positive if that happens, you'll see those other four that we talked about, the four corner schools, as they're called, go to the Big 12. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the idea of two, Kyle. I like the idea of Oregon and Washington. I'm not a fan of Stanford and Cal. I'm really not a fan of Cal for a lot of reasons, but I think they dilute the league a little bit, in my opinion. I would be really careful about bringing those guys in, but I think Oregon's a home run, the environment that they have and Autzen Stadium. And then, you know, the Washington Huskies bring, you know, we talk about bringing markets, they bring Seattle. So I think those are two home runs. I don't see any downside to bringing them, but I would just be careful. You know, if I was the commissioner of the Big Ten, I wouldn't go as far as to bring a Cal or a Stanford.
Do you think the four corner schools will head to the Big 12?
As soon as Oregon and Washington are gone, I really believe they'll be gone. I really do. If there's some way that they could keep Oregon and Washington are the ones to me, if you're looking at a board and you say the two that, you know, that if those go to the Big 10 from the Pac-12, then I think those other four schools are looking, and if they keep those two and you pretty much have the conference intact, then
they're not going to keep those two.
I don't think they will.
My curiosity is if there's four left, I think the conference will survive. And I think they'll raid the Mountain West and the American. And I think if we lose to the American, I think at that point, I really believe at the end of the day, we're going to end up in the Sun Belt. I think when this whole thing shakes out, I hope we end up in the ACC or the Big 12 or something like that. But I think at the end of the day, when this whole thing shakes out, we're going to end up in the Sun Belt.
That's what I was going to ask you guys with the Big 12. That commissioner, he said, we're open for business. And they are not going to – the Big 12 has been a huge surprise to me, guys. I thought that they were done with Texas and Oklahoma. I could honestly see them adding Tulane. I could see them adding SMU. I could see them adding Memphis and East Carolina easily.
No, I think they're going to go to those four corner schools from the
– I'm saying they're going to go after them first, but what I'm saying is –
I think they'll stop there, dude. I think they'll stop at 60. Yeah, I think they stop there. It would be nice, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Right. I'm just saying the thing is, this commissioner is looking
at. Maybe we'll get in the Pac-12.
Hey, they want the Pac-12. you joke about that, but the Pac-12 actually is looking to go on the East Coast because they think, again, with Heisman, everything. With those late kickoffs, which we actually, as football fans, we love when you can see those late night games, but they want that noon 3:30 window. They want those games and they don't get them now. But if you could have if you could get an SMU, you can get a Memphis, you can get a Tulane, East Carolina, in the Pac-12, like have an Eastern kind of conference part or Eastern division rather, then have those travel partners, then
yeah, I just don't see them coming this far east. I do think SMU, I think if the Pac-12 survives with four members, I do think Tulane, SMU, and potentially Memphis have a shot. I don't see them coming this far east and taking East Carolina, South Florida, Temple. I could be wrong. I do think you could see Cal, you could see Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, Washington State, SMU, Tulane, Memphis,
San Diego State,
Fresno Boise. State, Boise State, Colorado State forming a new Pac-12.
Yeah.
I just think it's really unfortunate what the American did. You know, I think some of those teams we just mentioned, the Memphises, the SMUs, Temple, I think we had a pretty solid core, and I thought we should have raided the Sun Belt to try to bring in an app. Now, obviously, it comes down to, you know, the TV contract, and it comes down to the financial situation. But I thought that league, if we were to bring in an App State, you know, maybe a Georgia Southern, teams like that, I think it's more attractive. I just don't see the attraction to the Rices, the North Texas. It's just doesn't do anything for me.
No, if we were gonna add six, I would have. If I was running things, I would have probably brought in UTSA, Florida Atlantic, UAB, Southern Mississippi, Appalachian State, and Marshall. And I might would have swapped out UAB for ODU.
I think they had a hybrid. They could have had a hybrid, like I said.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Yeah.
Yeah. The UAB part, I think they're that stadium guys, phenomenal.
Well, they got great basketball. That is one thing I'll say about the American, about the new American. A lot of people thought a marquee is going to take a step back in basketball. But I think the American underperformed in basketball. You got Florida Atlantic coming off a Final Four. Yep. You got North Texas won the NIT. UAB played North Texas in the NIT championship. Plus, we already have Memphis. We already have Temple. I think the American basketball is still going to be really good, and baseball is going to take a step up.
The baseball part is the biggest help. And maybe
but if you compare it to the Sun Belt, it's still a shit league in baseball. It's a step up, but the Sun Belt right now is way more appealing. The only downside to the Sun Belt is television revenue is significantly less than it is in the American right now. They're a little over 2 million. We're around between 6 and 7 million. If that goes away, I think at the end of the day, we'll end up in the Sun Belt. We would be playing App, we would be playing ODU, Georgia Southern, James Madison, Coastal Carolina, Southern Mississippi. These are all schools that we have rivalries with or could easily build rivalries with. So it would be a regional conference. I think at the end of the day, if we don't make a power league, so to speak, I think that's where we'll end up. I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I hope a lot of power fans feel that same way. You can travel to most of those games. Imagine being able to – we can go to Boone. We can go to Harrisonburg. We can go to Statesboro, Georgia. We can go to Norfolk, Virginia. We can go to Conway, South Carolina. It would be a fun league for East Carolina.
Yeah. So what? Let me ask you this, guys. What right now, if you're ESPN, what schools would you tell Oresco to take to help the strengthen the American? If you're at 14 right now, which we're getting ready to be, let's say that you could add. I'm going to throw in four schools you could add in to help out the American. Like, in other words, to keep that $7 million a year or greater, what schools would you bring in?
That we could get? There's nobody.
Well, I think you could look – I think App is the one that makes the most sense to me, but you could look towards Colorado State. You know, you could look in that part of the country. And I hate to do it. I hate to do it because I don't want to bring in any more triple option teams. But maybe you bring in an Air Force, but I think Colorado State has some attraction. You know, I think they're a little more of a name brand, but App would be my first.
They've talked to the Mountain West schools and they told us no. While at this point, when you look at the American, if you're a Sun Belt school now, unless there's a guarantee the TV money's not going away, why do you leave the Sun Belt in that infrastructure this solid to come to the American? Now, if you can be guaranteed the TV money's not going away, then yeah, out of state would leave.
Why not add a Liberty?
Because they're an evangelical school, and it's not because they're a Christian school. A lot of people are Christians. It's because they're an evangelical Christian school, and a lot of people have a problem with evangelical Christians because they're over the top, and that's what that school's founded on. I think Liberty will eventually find their way out of Conference USA, and they may very well end up in the American because, look, I think Liberty's going to go to Conference USA and dominate that league in every sport.
They have lots of money.
Yes, exactly, and that's why they're going to dominate. You're going to see them winning that league in football, basketball, and baseball. And in the new Conference USA 5.0 or whatever the hell that hodgepodge league is even more of a hodgepodge than the American. It is a mess. But I think Liberty will eventually win their way into the American or the Sun Belt. I think one of the two will eventually have to take Liberty because I think Liberty's going to be a problem. And here's why. For now on, starting in 24, every year, one of the so-called group of five is going to be in the playoffs starting in 24. And if you have Liberty going undefeated every year in crappy Conference USA and winning a couple good non-conference games with Jamie Chadwell there now, they're going to be a problem. And if every year they're in competition for that playoff spot because they're winning Conference USA, the American of the Sun Belt is going to add them because you eliminate your competition.
Yeah, I like your picks, Matt. I'm going to put them up there. If you're a Commissioner Oresco, who do you take? Matt says App, Marshall, Colorado State, Air Force.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I just don't know why those schools would come here at this point.
I'm just saying that I think that there's a potential. There's a potential. That's what I'm saying. Of ESPN keeping it at 7 million or going higher. If we can get, you know, if there's schools out there that would come to the American, I do believe that it's still attractive enough that it will. Now, if they say, like we said, Kyle, if they say that they're not going to give us any more money, we lose that, then yeah, our backup plan would definitely
come built. Supposedly, and who knows if it's true, supposedly, Matt, and you talk about why we added some of the teams we added, supposedly ESPN asked us not to mess with the Sun Belt because they like their TV contract, they like their setup, and that's why we took teams from Conference USA once the Mountain West told us no. So if that's still the case, if ESPN is telling us not to take teams from the Sun Belt, then that takes Marshall and App off the table. Mountain West has already told us no. Now, if the Mountain West were to get raided by the Pac-12, and let's say for whatever reason, I can't imagine Air Force or Colorado State being left out at that point from going to the Pac-12. But let's say they were, then I definitely could see them coming to the American at that point.
Yeah. And it just really highlights that the fact that ESPN is running college football now. And you know, as ESPN does a lot of great things for college football, I think their coverage is great, but I hate some of the things they've done to the game. Not to get off on a soapbox here, but you know, I just hate how much power that they have in determining these conferences. So no, but Kyle, I mean, I think that's a really fair point. If ESPN said to Oresco, do not raid the Sun Belt, he's not going to do it.
Yeah, and I think potentially that's a mistake. Sometimes I think you got to do what's best for the conference and don't worry about what you're being told. Sometimes you got to tell Daddy to shut the hell up.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is if it comes down to all this, like, for example, the reason why it looks like this summer there's going to be realignment again is because of contracts ending in 23. So you have a situation where Oklahoma and Texas are going to go next year to the SEC. And then, guys, there's a chance that the SEC is going to, between the two powers that be, if you will, between the Big Ten and SEC.
That's the X factor. If the Big 12 and the Big Ten expand, the SEC is going to feel like they have to. And that's the X factor. If they can somehow convince these ACC schools with that ridiculous buyout that they have, if they can,
and the grant of rights, it's two
things. That's the buyout, the grant of rights is what I'm talking about. So
but I thought it was 75 million plus TV money. It's a a buyout plus.
Yeah, that giving up your TV money from your new conference is not going to hold up in court. I am no legal beagle, but we should get a homie up here and ask him if he thinks they would hold up in court, David Glenn, and I think he would say the same thing. So I think you're looking at $75 million, which is a whole lot of money, and that's it.
We'll negotiate, and they'll have it down in 50 years.
If Florida State – I think the best thing for East Carolina, and it sounds counterintuitive, but would be for the SEC to decide they want Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, and North Carolina State, because then mm-hmm. I think we could get in the ACC.
Agreed.
Well, and the thing is, in fact, North Carolina – the Big Ten's been wanting North Carolina for a long time.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. They're going west.
Yeah, but who knows what they, you know, and maybe you're right. Maybe the SEC will go after the North Carolina and North Carolina State and have them. They don't have anybody in North Carolina. I don't think they're worried about their academics. North Carolina and North Carolina State are very good academic schools, but I don't think that's a – I don't know.
No, the SEC don't care about that.
No, I know they don't, but I'm just saying, I'm talking about and it's not to offend North Carolina or North Carolina State. If you're SEC, they're looking at like teams like Notre Dame, aren't they, in football?
The SEC and Notre Dame, I mean,
I don't think that, no, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just talking about brand. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that particular case. I'm saying brand names. What school is going to bring like a wow factor bigger that or equal to like Oklahoma and Texas?
Yeah, I think the SEC, one thing they have been committed to doing is staying in their footprint as much as they can. Even right. Oklahoma and Texas is still southern, even though it's more southwest.
Right.
So to me, Clemson, Florida State are the obvious choices, but yeah. I can definitely see them getting interested in North Carolina, North Carolina State. And like I say, if the ACC loses four, if they lose North Carolina, North Carolina State, I really believe we would have a chance.
Yeah, and you really just need that. I think you need that first domino to fall. And then I think because this grant of rights is so powerful, and if somehow there was a way around it, it reminds me of like a, you know, not to get be funny here, but it's like a prenuptial agreement. You know what I mean? Like a lock and key.
You yes, know, sir.
You're signing your life away. And the same thing with this grant of rights. You know, if somebody could find a way around it, and like you said, Kyle, challenge it in court. Would it hold up? I don't know. If the first domino falls, we're a natural fit.
Yeah, and that's the thing is if that grant of rights thing figured out, but that's going all the way, guys. That's going all the way to 2034. Yeah.
If I'm the ACC and I lose North Carolina, North Carolina State, Florida State, Clemson, I add East Carolina, South Florida, Temple, and UConn.
UConn wanted to be exactly. UConn wanted to be in the ACC many years ago, and I tell you another school. Hey, Matt, and they're not going to do it now for obvious reasons. But how about the ACC?
Memphis would be the wild card there if they're still out there.
Absolutely, they would be good for basketball, and their football team is
natural rivalry with Louisville.
Yep, and we have East Carolina if they were in. But, Matt, how about – I think it was around 1990. It was when I was in high school. How about Penn State wanted to be in the ACC, and the ACC turned them down?
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know what the ACC could have been thinking.
Because you think about that. They could have had – think about that. It makes perfect sense for geographics. You think the geography. You think about – you have Miami. Miami, Florida State. You have Clemson, and I mean, you have the Notre Dame situation, which is crazy, but that's a whole nother show, as they say. But I just can't believe that Penn State, you would turn them down when that would have helped your football. I mean, football was really bad back then. But anyway, it's just crazy to think that
you would have had Penn State, Pitt, and then some way you could have got West Virginia. You would have had a little trifecta there of
they could have gotten West Virginia all they wanted. They didn't want them.
Actually, that was really stupid because West Virginia is part of your is closer to your footprint. I don't understand the and that's another thing about the ACC. There's two things going against the ACC. One is there this academic crap that they, you know, like that's really a big factor in this whole thing when you have NIL and all kinds of stuff there. And Matt and I always laugh about the whole term student athlete. And then you have a situation where you have that, and you have a situation where also they're more worried about where their conference offices are than losing the league that they work for. Jim Phillips, are you kidding me? Like that guy, and he couldn't even get a job. He's from the Midwest. He's from the Big Ten. He couldn't even get that commissioner post. You know, he wanted that post. So you have a commissioner that doesn't want to even be your commissioner, and then they give him a three-year deal. And then, like, you're worried about what the – you need to be worried about your conference as far as the teams, the league, how to strengthen that league, how to get Florida State and Clemson happy. I don't know how you do that. They want to have that whole thing where they get more money than everybody else, which Oklahoma and Texas, they tried – they've been, you know, appeased those two schools, and they still left the Big 12. And that's what's going to happen with Florida State and Clemson. They're still going to leave. It's a matter of when. And you're basically going to give them a whole bunch of money to appease them for a few years, and they're still going to leave. So I don't know.
No, you can't do that. I don't think
that's a dumb idea.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, switch gears just for a minute. So we start to wrap this thing up. We're getting a little
ready.
Basketball. The big signee from Kansas, former North Carolina native. A backup point guard on the national champion from last year, had an injury, played, was an excellent player as a freshman, had an injury, was backup this year. Big get. I mean, that kid, if we could have got him and the kid from Kinston, if we could have got them both, holy crap. But just getting him was a huge get for our program.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we also signed a great player from Goldsboro. And so, for me, kudos to – Bobby Pettford Jr. Thank you, Bubba.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me with and another thing that – two things that Schwartz are doing with recruiting I love is the 252 situation. And how about for the fact of the – he's very good.
Well, neither one of those guys from the 252, but they're both from North Carolina.
Well, North Carolina, yeah, North Carolina. But he's also recruiting 252 players and – really make an effort there. And the other thing he's doing that I like a lot, Matt, is the international scene. He's very well connected there. And we've had a lot of guys over the years that have been good international players that he's bringing in. So I really like that a lot. And I like the fact they're, Kyle, they're going to have seats right behind the benches next year instead of the bleachers. So you can
– thank God.
You're going to be sitting there next year, I'm sure, with me. And we'll hang out. And, Matt, you can come down, and that's going to be a
– Look, Dave, one thing you talked about is money being spent on basketball. Well, if you read Bobby Pettford Jr.'s interview or his comments, he said the whole coaching staff flew out to Lawrence to meet with him in person. So props to to the athletic department for giving them the money to do that, to be able to recruit. And I personally believe – and, guys, you know, I don't know how I'm about basketball. It's my least favorite of the major sports. Mike Fortz sold me this year. I think he's the right man for the job. I think he's the right fit. I still think Billy shouldn't have been fired, but I applaud right. I applaud Gilbert on the hire. Schwartz was a good hire. I think he – I've said it for years. If we're ever going to build a basketball program, we have to do it with North Carolina kids. And Schwartz realizes that.
Right. And like I said, he's doing good with the – he does well with the transfer portal. He's doing well internationally. So we want him on the show, and it's tough right now, which is fine because it's a good problem to have because he's recruiting.
Hey, somebody send this tape to Gilbert because God knows I'm critical of Gilbert. You've been critical of Gilbert. That was a good hire. Schwartz is a good coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy.
Excellent hire. Excellent hire.
And guys, they actually, with the whole lighting situation that we were using, as Gilbert talked about, Windows 95. They had to get a guy from Ohio. The lighting system was Windows 95.
Not even XP?
Good no, Lord.
No, sir. So,
that's crazy. But let me just comment really quick on Pettiford, guys. You know, he's a big-time athlete, and I really like the way he attacks the rim. You know, he can attack the rim with both hands. He's going to match up very well in American Conference play, and, you know, he's a really nice get. I think I guess you would say the concern or the knock on him is how's the perimeter shooting? You know, and I, you know, I don't know. I mean, time will tell, but I think he's a great addition. I think I'd like to see a solid, consistent perimeter shooter, somebody that's, you know, 38, 39% perimeter shooter from three.
And a big.
But I think Pettiford brings something different. You know, Small was more of, you know, he was more on the outside. Pettiford can get in the lane. He can make things happen, penetrate and dish. So if you can add a perimeter shooter with Pettiford, I think now all of a sudden you're putting together a solid team. And but a really nice get, and I agree with you guys wholeheartedly. Schwartz, he's his first head coaching job. He's young, he's hungry, he's invested, and you know, I think the future is bright.
I think he gets a lot. I think he gets the most out of his talent. I think guys like playing for him.
Yeah, he's the people have bought in because he's not cussing at them. He really loves to teach the game, like everything that you can think of. And I hate to use the term checks all the boxes, but I've been really impressed with him. I would say this. My only criticism is not of Schwartz. The one thing I will say is let's do a better job, and I will help out in any way I can to market the basketball program.
All right, I got it. Bobby Pettiford Jr. Pettiford, how do you say his last name?
Pettiford.
Pettiford. Bobby Pettiford Jr. I got it, guys. What do you think of this marketing campaign? East Carolina fans of Bobby Pettiford Jr., we're all Pettiford files.
Wow.
What do you think? You think that's a good idea?
No.
I think, you know, hey, I think we want to stay away from that one a little bit. Yeah.
You don't want those T-shirts? I thought we could get Bubba to get those T-shirts going.
No, that's not going to.
No?
You might be the only one to have.
No, that's a bad idea?
Yeah, I'm not going. We're not going there. I'm going to play.
I mean, you're Bobby Pettiford Jr., we're Pettiford five.
I'm glad you amused yourself, but that's not fun. Do you have anything before we go? We need to wrap this thing up before.
Oh, man, I just almost went political. I'm staying quiet, though, fellas. I'm staying quiet.
All right.
Uh-oh,
man. I'm staying quiet.
You're thinking about sniffing hair, Matt?
I'm thinking about somebody that sniffs a lot of hair. You know? But we won't go there. You know, no, I'm going to behave.
Yeah. Dave, like, we had to do it at the end of the show.
He just asked, who is it, Bubba, that's asked to be released?
What did Bubba just say? I missed that on the screen.
Because of your T-shirt comment, thanks, Kyle. He just asked to be released.
Look, if you don't laugh at that, I mean, I'm sorry. You don't have a sense of humor.
All right. Final comments, and we'll get out of here.
Go ahead, Kyle.
I think we talked a lot about football tonight. Obviously, you know, still a long way to the football season, but we're going to be watching the transfer portal see who we sign. And we didn't touch on baseball at all tonight. We got the Cincinnati Bearcats coming up this weekend, top 10 baseball team. The injuries are mounting a little bit, but we need to take care of business this weekend in conference against Cincinnati Bearcats. Need to at least win 2 out of 3, better to get the sweep, have another 4-0 week.
And by the way, guys, the from Bearcats.
Oh, I've never heard you talk that fast. I mean,
I can
you
do
sounded
it,
like, you I sounded can be, like I, one I, of those I can, guys on the commercial, you know, that they talk a million miles.
99 knock people up about doing foul. Yeah.
By the way, guys, I want to, before I forget, Matt, and I'll let you give, I want to give a shout out and our condolences to one of our friends, Chad Brindle from the Bearcat Journal 24/7. His wife died of cancer 9 days ago, and I'm sorry, Chad, I didn't realize I would have reached out sooner. I knew that his wife, Kelly, was terminal, unfortunately. And
what form of cancer did she pass away of?
I am not sure, but I knew that. I read a thing on social media, so obviously we were not going to ask him tonight to come on, but we would normally have him as a guest to talk about the baseball series, which is coming up, obviously, tomorrow and this weekend, so good luck to the Pirates. Man,
thoughts and prayers with him and his family and all of her family and friends. I've been battling cancer myself. Hate to hear that he lost his wife. I can't imagine going through that. So thoughts and prayers with him genuinely.
Yeah. And Matt, go ahead. Sorry. I just want to make sure I got that in before I forgot.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned it. And hey, but really quick, before I just wrap up sports, I want to say to both of you guys, we've got two big days coming up. Dave Richmond, D Rich, turning the big 5-0 tomorrow. So happy birthday.
I'll bring it on. 2 hours, you know, and 7 minutes.
So that's a, hey, that's a big one. That's a milestone. And then Kyle has a big day on Monday, right, Kyle?
I go in for my CT scans to make sure I'm cancer free after chemo. And guys, I'm partying Monday night if I get good news. If I get bad news, well then holy crap, let's not even think about that. But as long as I get good news, I'm telling you what, I'm celebrating big time. So guys, everybody out there, keep me in your thoughts and prayers, whether you like me or hate me.
We all love you, Kyle.
All good thoughts and prayers, and hopefully I get good news Monday, and I can at least say I'm cancer free, for hopefully for forever, but at least until I get my next scan 6 months later.
Yeah, we're gonna love you unless you go to another show. So
yeah, there you go.
It's like Howard Stern. Remember Howard Stern back in the day? He said, you know, obviously people would tune in that loved them, but the people who hated them would listen to the show twice as much.
Yeah,
there's exactly. A little controversy, right, yeah. Kyle? So you can't lose either way.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, I say stuff. I say what's on my mind and speak my mind. And I say stuff sometimes to try to piss people off. And lots of times, you know, if you can't handle the jokes, then that's just that. To me, that's your problem. But, you know, I really do appreciate a lot of people have reached out to me over the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. And I really appreciate everybody that has. It means a lot.
All right. Good luck to the Pirates, guys. And good luck to you, Kyle. Monday, we'll find out about that. Obviously, we're going to have extra innings this week and weekend. And we appreciate everybody listening. In fact, hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the Pirates. And we'll say good night. Go Pirates.
Go Knicks.
Happy birthday.
Everyone, I copy that. Everybody gonna see it's go bananas. Feel that, but don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first.